Good Friday, we had a wonderful service here talking about the words of Jesus from the cross. And we followed up with a communion. Well, that's where the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Jewish leaders wanted to leave Jesus. They wanted to leave him on the cross. They wanted to leave him in the tomb, buried. But as the song says, buried, he carried my sins far away. You know, there's only one way he could have done that. He arose. Amen. He arose from what? The dark domain? There's so many songs we could sing about Easter and the resurrection. It was so important for him to rise again. It's upon the resurrection our Christianity, our faith, our foundation either rises or falls. Do you believe in the resurrection?
Amen.
Do you believe in the resurrection?
Yes.
It is the foundation of our faith. It is either true or our faith is in vain. Now, one of the things I want to explore this morning is, what if? What if he did not rise again? I want to go ahead, first of all, to read. We had a wonderful sunrise service with our neighbor church this morning. And in their bulletin, they took exactly part of the scripture that I wanted to quote this morning. So I don't have to look it up. I just look on the back of their bulletin. Isn't that wonderful? Something about, you know, the fellowship of a belief does that. This is taken from John chapter 20, 1 through 20, if you'd like to look that up. The resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. I remember those days when I could run. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with a linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In this passage, and also in Matthew 28, where we read the passage, the same passage as explained by Matthew, when Jesus rose from the dead, it says here, when in verse 1, and they saw that the stone, Mary saw that the stone had been taken away. And we are always singing and rejoicing about how the stone was rolled away. If you do mathematical calculations, this weighed about 1.5 to 2 tons. And if you remember how it says in Matthew 27, in verse 62, this says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Sounds good. Sounds like a padlock, doesn't it? It wasn't a padlock. They were determined that this news that Jesus would rise again, that the resurrection would take place, would not take place. How many people know that you can't keep Jesus in the grave? You can't keep him in the tomb. There is a power of the resurrection that goes to the heart of each and every believer. That same dunamis power blew that stone away. It was not just rolled away. It broke the seal and it was tossed out. Matthew 28 says there was an earthquake when they went to go see. The tomb was empty. If you remember, if you can find it, let me know real quick. It's either Matthew or John, one of the two. Where there was an angel sitting on top of the stone. This stone was 1.5 to 2 tons heavy. And what they did, they hollowed it out right under the entrance there so that when they put it back, it would roll in this little depression. When they had it opened, before the body was brought in, they kind of put something there to keep it from rolling. But when it was rolled in place, that 1.5 to 2 tons was there. They didn't want it to move. The sealing of this tomb, the sealing of the stone was a rope tied on each end. That in itself is no big deal. But they put wax on top of this. It's not going to stop anything. But the wax held the governor's wax signet ring. They wanted to make sure that whatever was in that tomb was not coming out of that tomb. When Mary and the disciples came to the tomb, where was the stone? Tossed away. Not rolled away, tossed away. There was something supernatural going on here. What it was, and all the time since, people have been trying to disprove the resurrection. If they disprove the resurrection, our preaching is in vain. Our testimony is in vain. This church is in vain. It's pointless. We have no hope. But we have hope of the resurrection because it was witnessed to. I'm just getting started. There is so much to this day that we all need to understand the power of the resurrection. This is something to be excited about. Do you realize in Christmas, when do we start celebrating Christmas? Exactly. July, August, whatever. I mean, this is great. We have the baby Jesus being born, and we celebrate it and everything else, and Easter gets a week. Jesus came into the world as a babe, and we prepare for today. So I would think that Easter should have at least the same recognition that we give Jesus during his birth at Christmas. And it doesn't seem like we do. The world is trying to deny what Jesus can do. They want to completely deny. Well, he just swooned. He was in the tomb. He wasn't really dead. And the cool air inside the tomb revived him. He had over 100 pounds of spices in these burial wrappings, and they wrapped him tight. The Romans wanted to make sure that he was dead, dead, dead. In order that they took the bodies down from the cross on Friday, you could not leave a Jew hanging on the tree during the Passover. So they had to take him down by 3:00. They wanted to make sure he was dead. As a rule, they broke the legs of the accused to make sure they were dead. They couldn't push themselves up for more air. And by that, they suffocated. But they pierced Jesus' side, and what came out? Blood and water. Now, I'm not a medical expert, but I've been told that when that happens, the blood separates from the serum. Is that right? And that is one proof that Jesus was dead. They did not bother to break his legs. Fulfilled scripture. But he was dead. They had to certify that he was dead. The Roman guard had to certify it. They took that to the authorities. They certified that he was dead. Jesus was dead. Took his limp body down from the cross, placed it in the tomb. Just to make sure, let's put this stone in front there. Let's put the guard in front. This just wasn't one guard. They wanted to make sure that any rumor that the disciples or anyone else might build this story up and create this fantasy that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's put a guard out there. The guard consisted of 16 soldiers. There were 4, 4, and 4. So they took shifts, and they were not to fall asleep upon penalty of death. Okay, well, maybe the disciples came and stole his body away. Maybe Jesus revived and rolled the stone away. 1.5 tons? There were witnesses to what Jesus did when he rose again. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty victor. Right? But there is a verse that says, vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. They tried to keep him in the grave. The grave couldn't keep him. They rolled the stone away. He tore away the bars of death that tried to keep him there. He not only put one over on those who doubted him, who wanted to see him fail, who wanted this Jesus to be completely removed. It upset their apple cart. It upset their lives, the traditions, everything else. But he showed Satan too, didn't he? There's a story I came upon the other day. There is a painting that used to hang in the Louvre. And basically, it was in the same Louvre, in the same place as Mona Lisa. And according to the legend, and it's probably true, the painting depicts two chess players. The painting is entitled Checkmate. Two chess players here. One, a master chess player, and the other one, Satan. All the moves had been taken, and this painting depicted the look on Satan's face like he had won. And as the crowd started going through the Louvre, and they were watching this painting, the crowd moved along, and this one man stayed there, and he just looked at the picture and looked at the picture. He studied it. The rest of the tour watched and said, well, we're not all here. And so they went back and saw this man studying the picture. He says, well, it's time to move on. We're moving on. And what do you find so intriguing about this painting of the two chess players? the obvious victor, according to the painting, was Satan. The Grand Master, who this man happened to be, a world-class master, he studied the painting. He noticed something very surprising. And he mentioned something to the tour guide. This painting is not correct. What do you mean it's not correct? He says, there's one more move to be made. Well, what's that? The king still has one more move. Satan didn't win. Jesus, the king, still has one more move. So that was not checkmate as we thought it was. The credibility of our Christian faith rests completely on whether we believe the empty tomb or whether we don't believe the empty tomb. If you don't believe an empty tomb, you have an empty faith. Pure and simple. To trivialize the resurrection, is to trivialize what God Himself has done with His own Son. Now, if you're not a believer, so what? I don't want to say so what to my Lord, to my God, when all of heaven, all of eternity hangs in the balance. God sent His Son to redeem the world so that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. And the effort and the planning and everything that God has gone to redeem one person, you and me, the world, what He went through to become our Savior is not to be trivialized. So, what if we didn't have the resurrection? Just suppose for a moment there is no such thing as a resurrection. Turn with me in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writes here concerning this very thing. What if? There's five different things that he wants to go ahead and talk about. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 14 through 20. Paul speaking here. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You have not been forgiven. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If Christ had not been risen. But look at verse 20. Emphatically, Paul says here, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. There were witnesses. How many witnesses were given in Jesus after the resurrection? Well, the very first one that we recognize was Mary Magdalene. And then the disciples. And then Jesus appeared to disciples in the upper room. And then Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time. This is well documented. There is a historian who also went to Oxford, and I can't remember the name of the gentleman right now. I apologize for that. But it is well researched. He is a historian. When a historian goes ahead and puts a lot of effort into finding out, for instance, in this case, whether Jesus did rise from the dead, whether he rose again, whether he even existed, they went into that not with preconceived ideas. They are not allowed to do that. They have to go ahead and base it on facts. He said there is undeniably overwhelming evidence that, yes, Jesus did rise. He lived and he rose from the dead. The witnesses is the key. He appeared to so many people. In the apostles, when they went ahead and had to replace Judas after he died, they met together and they said, make sure that the person we choose has to be a witness to the resurrection. If you remember the apostles after Acts, after the Pentecost, whenever they preached the resurrection power. If you took the words the resurrection out of the entire Bible, talking about the Old Testament and the New Covenant as well, you would have a conglomeration of what's left that doesn't make any sense. The Bible is all about the resurrection and the resurrection power. And if he did not die and rise again, then our preaching, my preaching, is in total vain. Being here in church this morning is useless. And the people that we prayed over when they passed away, our loved ones, they have not gone on to heaven because Jesus did not rise again to see his Father. The whole Bible is false and a lie. But he did. Hallelujah. He is risen. There is beyond any reasonable doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. Think about this for just a minute. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, that means that the cross man can kill Jesus, a divine being, Son of God. It means that mankind has more power over Jesus, for God's own Son, than God does himself. Don't fool yourself. We have not got that kind of sovereign power. What Jesus said happened. When Jesus said he was going to be born, he was born. When Jesus said he was going to suffer, he suffered. When Jesus said, I will rise again in 3 days, guess what? He rose again in 3 days. And when the Bible says, I will come again, guess what? He's coming back. Hallelujah. Because of that resurrection power. Is there anything about our faith in our risen Lord that needs to be mended? Is there anything that we take for granted about the resurrection? We mentioned that in July, we start thinking about Christmas and the gifts that we're going to give our kids and our grandkids and business kids and associates and so on and so forth, ad infinitum. We always try to prepare for Christmas and all this, but how many times during the week do we think of the resurrection? How many times? And at the very end, Jesus was present when he ascended into heaven. His 12 disciples were there, and they watched him physically rise into heaven. He says, likewise, I will come again. Would you like to have this power, this resurrection power, every day, unreserved for our life? Would you like to be like Peter when he stood up and preached at Pentecost and 3,000 were saved? Because of the resurrection, as he was a witness seeing a new Jesus in front of him, the body. He showed him his hands and his feet. It was unrecognizable just a couple, 3 days before. But here is Jesus. And even Mary didn't recognize him. That power, the witness that we have, we may not have seen him ourselves, but we believe. We believe. In Acts 2:32 says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Numerous references all through the New Testament. We are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. But blessed is the one who sees, who does not see and believes, which is you and me. He was dead, but he is now made alive by the resurrection power. If Christ has not risen, our preaching is empty. Our faith is futile. Our profession is false. And our promise of a future is a fraud. If there is no resurrection, this life is a fantasy. But, praise God, we are made alive in Christ. You know, this walk that we have today is not an easy one. We have trials, tribulations ourselves. And it's one of these things that you think, what if? Okay, so what? There's times we all think of that, maybe to ourselves. The reason we celebrate Easter, the reason we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, is because on that one day, when we stand before the Lord and we have to give an account of whether or not we enter into that eternal rest to be with him forever, our hope and our joy continue on forever. Or he would say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That will make it all worthwhile. You take away the joy of salvation, eternal life, and what do you have left? Meaningless. There's nothing. There is a hollow point in each one of us that needs to be filled. We have an innate desire to worship something, whether it be money, whether it be a distraction, and Satan has all kinds of things in this world that he wants to fill, and it does not work. That hole in our heart can only be filled with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would not ever want to be accused of having a life without God, separated from his love. It all goes back to the resurrection. He is risen. He is risen. He is alive. Hallelujah. He arose. Now, like I said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, he says, but. He's done with all the what ifs. He's playing the devil's advocate. What if? What if? Well, now he says, no, this is the moment of triumph. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those who have gone before us have already risen with Christ and is already there, and we hope to meet them someday. This is a celebration. We have victory that Jesus, who conquered the death and the grave, gives to us eternal life through him who loved us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you this morning for what you have told us. We thank you, Father, for being our Savior. Father, we love you. We adore you. And part of being a Christian, Father, is knowing the Scriptures. But it's much more than just knowing. Father, it means to accept what you have given to us. Accept what you have done. And then we must receive it. Make it ours. Father, speak to us. Speak to our hearts. That we have this resurrection power. That we would receive you. And become witnesses of you all over to the world. And to the uttermost. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.